I need your prayers today.
Thank the Lord for His faithfulness. I'd like to turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I want to read the 12th verse. Well, just start at the 11th verse and read 11 and 12. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now this is a scripture that we've preached on many, many times before. And it's some that no doubt most of us know by heart. But I feel like the Lord would have us to reiterate some points in it today. And so we're going to deal, in essence, with this, the violent take it by force, because it's something that's very necessary to us today. As we are living a life of salvation, we understand that the enemy is going to come against every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been saved. If you've been saved yesterday, got saved today, you got saved 50 years ago. It doesn't matter. What matters is that in order for you to get to heaven, you're going to have to fight for it. The enemy's going to come against you. He's going to do everything that he can. He's going to take every weapon in his arsenal to fight you with. And you're going to have to, as the song said, we're going to have to go get up and we're going to have to fight against him. So it says John the Baptist came and he said he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. And he said the kingdom of heaven is near. And he preached the repentance. And since the days of John the Baptist until now, the scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. So the enemy comes against the people of God. And one of the things that I see that he's using today is he used people that are right among the church. I'm not saying in the church. You understand what I mean? But among the church to fight the church. So there is a battle that the enemy is trying to destroy from within. So saints, when the enemy comes against you and there is somebody that whispers in your ear that the way the church does it or the way that we is wrong, don't listen to them. What we have to do and what we have to understand, we've got to take it and fight back. We've got to, when force comes, we've got to use force in order to combat force. Alright? So it says here that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And in order for us to maintain the victory in our soul, we're going to have to be violent. Now, have you ever thought about a war and how brutal a war is? Back in the days when the Bible, the time to speak that is spoken about in the Bible, there are a lot of folks that were casual. And these were up close wars. Well, we have a sword. A sword is something that is up close and personal, you might say. And what happens is when a person gets a sword in their hand, there is a arm-to-arm or man-to-man combat, and you're fighting the enemy man-to-man, so to speak. And you know, if you ever think about what the aftermath of a battle would look like, have you ever seen pictures of the Civil War and pictures of past wars where they just got out and start shooting people and whatnot, and you see all kinds of people that are dead and dying and blood that's all over the place. And I've seen some books where there are those that were burying the dead because of a war. What I'm trying to make out of this is that we have to understand that it's brutal. There is something that's not pretty about it. There is something that we have to understand that we've got to, that there is, when you are in a battle, somebody's going to end up dead. Somebody's going to end up driven back. And what we want to make certain of that it's not us. All right? Now, we're going to try to support our thought with scriptures. I want us to go to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Let's read that. Now, what I want to say also is that anything that we get from the devil, anything that we take, anything that we get, any ground that we win is going to have to be taken. He's not giving it to us. He's not going to let up. He is tenacious. He is determined that the ground that he has, you are not going to get it. But what we can understand is that by the grace of God, we can take it. All right? 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, please.
For God has not
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, or craven and cringing and fawning fear, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. And I think that that's important for us to understand. Because sometimes the reason that we don't go forward and we don't fight the devil is because we're afraid. And one of the things that the enemy wants to paint a picture in our mind is, hey, listen, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. That is not true. And we need to understand that the devil is not going to leave us alone. There are myriads of people that are not bothering him, and he is just torching them from within and from without. And so that is not a true statement. So what I want us to understand is that he's not giving us a spirit of fear. I don't have to be afraid of the trials or the enemies that I face. I don't have to be afraid of the things that are going to come my way or the things that might happen. I hear so many times people are saying, you know what, I was afraid to get saved because I was afraid God might call me to the ministry. Well, what's wrong with that? Why are you afraid of that? Well, I was afraid that I might go through some difficult testing or I might get sick or I might do that. Why are you afraid of that? You know, as you go into the Scriptures and the Lord says in various places that He says, fear not. Why does He say fear not? He's with me. I am the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I don't have to be afraid. And He says when the children of Israel were going to the land of Canaan, what did He say to Joshua? He said, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. He said, I'm going to be with you. Now, what does that mean? Now, when we take this scripture here that says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. Now, he knows us as human beings that there are going to be some things that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis that the spirit of fear is going to present itself to us and it's going to tell us that you need to stay right here. It's safer right here. Don't go any further because that's the unknown and you don't know what you're going to be facing up there. And the spirit of fear stops us right there, but that's not something that the Lord has given us, is it? He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I have given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I think that that's very important for us to understand that the power of God will take us through every unknown that we have. All of us have unknowns, whether you're saved or whether you're not. The benefit that you and I have that are saved and living for the Lord is that we have power to face the unknown and to face whatever the enemies are out there and stare them down. And not bat an eye. And not give an inch. Because He's given us power not to be afraid. Lord, help us. And when we are afraid, what do? We call on the Lord. And what did He promise? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to see you through this. Whatever trial, whatever test, whatever situation it is, God has promised, I'm going to be with you. All right? I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Now, why is that important? Now, why does He say here, why does He say here in this scripture that He's given us a sound mind? What is the definition of a sound mind? Balanced. All right? Stable. It is a mind that is based in reality. It knows what reality is. It's sound. So the Lord has given us a sound mind to be able to face whatever conflicts that we have and know the reality is that God can do something about it. Amen. So we enter into God's reality in this situation. So why am I not afraid? I'm not afraid because God is with me. Yes. And that's balance, is it? Isn't it? Yes, is this situation one? A situation that under normal circumstances we would be afraid, wouldn't we? Under normal circumstances, all of us have a certain apprehension or trepidation about the unknown. We don't know what that holds, but God is already in tomorrow. He's already in the unknown, the things that we don't know. He says, I'm there. So we have to understand that. So now I would be afraid. In the times that I would be afraid, I trust in the Lord. So there's the balance, there's the soundness here that I can go through whatever it is that I need to go through. Why? Because You are with me. I know that reality.
I know that you're going to see me through. I know the reality is my mind, my spiritual mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a sound mind that knows the reality of the situation. Jesus wasn't afraid to go to the cross. Why? Because he knew his Father would be with him. He knew that he had the victory. He knew in that Garden of Gethsemane that he had victory to go through whatever it is that he faced. But there was some trepidation, if I can use that word, to explain what Jesus went through. Father, not my will. I don't want to do this. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So I don't want to go through it. I don't know if I can use the word fear or drawback. I don't know what it was. I don't think he was afraid. But I knew that the flesh did not want to go to the cross. But the balancing thing is, Lord, not, I don't want to do this, but not my will. Your will be done. That's a sound mind. That's stable. That's something that I can stand on. And saints, what you and I can stand on is the Word of God. It never changes. It cannot change. It will not change. And when we understand the reality of that, when we're going through these trials and these tests and these problems that we go through on a day-to-day basis, we can understand that he's not giving me the spirit of fear. I don't have to draw back on this. But he's giving me power to handle whatever it is that I'm going to be able to, whatever I'm facing. That's reality. How many times have we gone through things and we're a little bit afraid and the Lord says, what did the sister say the other day? Gave a testimony last Sunday about, what was it? What did the Lord tell you? You, Sister Ava. Fret not. Don't worry. Gave her a song. No need to worry. And every time she went to worry, no need to worry. Why? Because the reality of it is, I got this. Oh, I got this. Don't worry. No need to fret. No need to worry. And now, well, Lord, you just don't understand. Oh, I got this. As they say in today's vernacular. The Lord knows what he's doing. So what we have is, Lord, I know you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I'm not going to draw back. And you say, well, Lord, you want me to take some ground? You're not satisfied with where I am? You want me to be a more spiritual person? You want me to go deeper in the Lord? You want me to be more of what you would have me to be? Well, Lord, does that mean that I'm going to have trials? Yeah, it means you're going to have more trials. But I'm with you. It means that I'm going to prove you. I'm going to take you through some things, but I'm going to be with you. And so there's some ground over there that I've already given you. But the problem is you're afraid to step on it. You're afraid to walk on it. And every place that's the sole of your feet, I can only give it to you when you put your foot down on it. I'm not going to... Excuse me. I've already given it to you, but you can only obtain it and possess it when your feet hit the ground. All right? That's what I mean. All right? I know you knew that's what I meant anyway. But what we have to understand is the reason we don't do it is because we're afraid. Let's go to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Start reading the first three verses and then drop down to 25.
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Lord spake unto Moses.
Saying. Send thou men.
I want you to send men.
That they may search the land of Canaan.
And this is the promised land. This is the land that the Lord wanted to give the children of Israel. He took them out of bondage, which is a type of sin. He took them out of sin. He had them in a little resting place for a while, but he wanted them to go in the wilderness, and he wanted them to go just a few days, stay in that place, and then go into the land of Canaan. Now, how does this relate to you and I? The Lord takes you out of sin. You get saved. Let me tell you what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to seek just for a space of time. You're there, and he wants you to go on over into the land of Canaan. He wants you to get down in the depths of him, ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and actually lead you, guide you. That's the power. That's the spirit of power. It gives me power to resist temptation. It gives me power, they had it in the Sunday school lesson today, gives me power to be able to stand firm and true for the Lord in the midst of all the things that I'm faced on a day-to-day basis. It gives me power and it gives me authority over the powers of the enemy. And so the Lord wanted them to go over into the land of Canaan. Now, what did he say? I want you to send some spies over there. Read. I want you to send some men that they may search the land of Canaan. Which I give unto the children of Israel. I've given them to the children of Israel.
Of every tribe of their fathers,
shall you send a man.
Every one
Everyone a ruler among them. So in other words, these are people that are respected. I want you to choose somebody that is in a leadership position, and I want you to send them over into the land of Canaan, because I've already given that land to you. Can you understand that? I've already given that land to you, all right?
And Moses,
by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran,
all the men
who were heads of the children of Israel.
25.
All right?
And they returned from searching the land.
They returned from searching the land 40 days, yeah.
And they went and came.
So these spies went and they searched the land of Canaan for 40 days. They saw what was there. In other words, the unknown. Before you go over there, I want you to know what you're facing. But I want you to know I'll be with you. I want you to know what you're facing. And so he sent spies, people that were out to view the land. And here's their report that they came back with. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Yes. And they brought back word unto them and to all the congregation. And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them. And they said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely, here's the good report. All of them agreed on this. All of them agreed that surely it is a land that is floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, now here the fruit is there. What you're needing, there is no want. In one place it speaks them out. There is no want of anything in the whole world on the earth. Everything that you need is over in that land. Let me say it in the spiritual sense. Everything that you need is in a life of sanctification. Is in a life of living for the Lord, of true consecration to God. Everything that you're going to need to get from earth to glory is there. Everything that you possibly would ever dream of is there. I want you to know that the Lord has already made it available for you, for every one of us, a level of consecration. All we have to do is we have to go and get it. The violent take it by force. It's not going to be given to us, but let's continue to read.
Nevertheless,
the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites, Amorites, they dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now these are folks that are over in the land that God gave you. God has given them that land. Now let me tell you, there are going to be some giants as you are going on your way with the Lord. There are going to be some giants and that are in some places that are going to try to stop you from getting what God has for you. There are going to be some things that we can be afraid of, that we could have had a greater level of victory or greater something if we just go and walk on it and take it. Now you suppose that those Hittites and Jebusites and Amalekites and the children of Anak, you suppose they're just going to give up their land? Oh, yeah, we want this land. And the God gave us. You suppose that they're going to just give it up? No, they're going to fight for it, aren't they? They're going to fight. This is our land. We have been here, and we've been here for generations, and you're not going to come and take it. I don't care if you are the children of Israel. I don't care if you are call yourself the children of God. If you want this, you're going to have to take it. All right? So what does it say? The kingdom of heaven, there is another kingdom that is coming to take the land. Now, how do you suppose those kings got their land? They fought for their land, didn't they? And then how do you suppose they kept the land? They fought to keep it. Because another king was going to come in and overtake, so that he'd be a richer king and he'd have the minerals and the resources that he had. They had to fight to maintain. So this is why the Lord's not giving us the spirit of fear. But he's given us the spirit of power. And so we have the power to fight for the land that God has given us and to hold it. I don't have to give up nothing that the Lord has given me. Amen. Let me tell you, what the devil will try to do, the devil is very much like the Gibeonites. You know, remember the Gibeonites? They went in to take their land, and this is over in Joshua. They went in to take their land. They dressed up like old people, like old in old rags, and they were poor from a far country. And the devil will come in, and before you know it, you will make a league with him and not realize that it's the devil until it's too late. Everything, what the Lord wanted them to do. Listen, the reality is you've got to ask the Lord about everything. Don't make a league with nothing. It might look like it's good. It might look like it's right. But it's something that the enemy it has done underhanded. One of the things that the devil is a deceiver. And he's very good at that. He's much better at it than you are. At discerning it in and of yourself. What the devil wants to do is he wants to mix a lot of good with just a little bit of bad. Alright? Alright, so he said, here, the Ammonites and the Amalekites, so he says, they're not going to just give up their land. But it says here, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it. Alright? I don't know how they got it, but that was the land that God had reserved for the children of Israel. And there's some land that God has reserved for you. There's some spiritual ground that the Lord has reserved for you. And in order for you to get it, you're going to have to stand up and you're going to have to take it. And what we tend to do, and this is what I see that we fight for our jobs, we fight for our rights in a natural sense. And somebody does, if they're going to fire you for no reason, what do? You go and talk to an attorney, don't you? I mean, this is just the norm. We go and talk to an attorney and see what rights do they have to do it. And the attorney tells you whether or not you have a fight on your hand or whatever rights. If they just discriminated against me because of this or that, or whatever it may be, and you fight for those rights, why don't we fight? Why are we so passive and timid when it comes to spiritual things? The enemy comes and he fires at something at us and we just let him have it. It just seems like, it doesn't seem like I can have the level of victory that I need. Why are you letting them take your victory? You can fight for it. The violent take it. If you're going to have it and you want that ground, you're going to have to fight for that ground and you're going to have to take it. And God's given you, and let me tell you, God's given you the spirit of power to be able to do it. He's given you a sound mind to understand that once you understand, you don't have to fall. What does the scripture say? The reality of it is unto him that is able to do what? Keep you. That's reality. The Lord is able to keep you. I don't care. I don't care what has happened in your past. I don't care what your past is like. Unto him, the reality of the situation, the soundness of your mind, you say, unto him that is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless. That's reality. He's able to do that. All right? All right. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We're going to take it, and how are we going to do it? We're going to overcome it. We are going to take the land that God has promised us. We're going to take it. We're going to overcome. Now that's balance. That's a sound mind. Now I know that we're not able to do it in and of ourselves. Caleb said that. In essence, we're well able to do it because, why? Because thou art with us. You're going to take us through, Lord. All right, so that's a sound mind. Now, let me tell you what's not sound. All right? But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Oh, that's true. I got to give them that. Sons of Anak are tall. There's one place that the Lord says when you go out and you see that the armies are greater than you, and when you see that the horses have more horses and chariots than you, don't be afraid. Why? I'm with you. There's a scripture that says that. Don't be afraid of it because I'm with you. I am your God. I am going to do this for you. You've got to allow me to do it. Even though what you're looking at, you may see all of these things. They may be stronger than you. That may be true. On this hand, they're stronger than you. But on the other hand, the balanced side and my soundness, the soundness of my mind say, but they're not stronger than my God. They may be taller than I am, but they're not taller than God. And when the going gets too rough for me, then I stand behind the Lord and you fight my battles, Lord. Lord, help us. That sound, that spiritual reality, that whatever it is that you're facing, God is so concerned about you and me and all of us making it to heaven that He made a way for that to happen. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? That's the greatest news. That's the news of the gospel. The Lord did it for me. Now, if He went through all that trouble coming down from heaven, doing something He really didn't want to do, dying on a cross, and I say one, I want you to understand, I say that with respect. His flesh didn't want to do it. His flesh drew back. But He said, I've got the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And it's not just a little something that you're dying, but He was dying for something He didn't do. He was dying and carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. Every sin that was ever committed. Died. He bore on the cross the weight of every evil man, evil woman, evil child. Jesus did that for you and I. Now, he's not going to make provisions for us to get all the way, to possess all the land. All right, read.
And they brought up
an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, in hand that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that saw it are men of great stature. It eat up the people thereof, but it had good fruit. So that's not balanced, is it? Not in a spiritual way. And sometimes people, when you look at things from a spiritual context, they look quite different spiritually than they do in a natural context. In a natural context, there are certain things that you wouldn't do. And when somebody says to you, well, why aren't you doing something about this? Well, I am doing something about it. What are you doing about it? I'm praying about it. And in a natural context, then naturally, most folks would want to take it into their own hand. Let's make this happen. Let's make this happen. And then when you say, you know, the Lord told me to take my hands off of it and let Him work it. Now, in a spiritual context, that's a balance. That's reality. Now, there are times that the Lord tells us what to do. The Lord tells us, all right, now I want you to put your hand on. Now I want you to go and do this. And then there are times that the Lord says, I don't want you to do it. You remember, was it, they were carrying the cart. Who was it? Uzzah? They were and the oxen stumbled. And what did he do? He tried to ride it. Now, from a natural standpoint, that seemed like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just what you would do. That's just what a person would do. But he didn't have the authority to do it, and the Lord struck him down. And so what we have to understand is there are some times that the Lord tells you don't have authority to speak yet. I'm not going to give you that authority to speak. And if you speak, you're going to mess up what I'm doing. And so what the Lord says to us is, all I want you to do is I want you to pray. And do you realize that prayer is a weapon?
Yes.
Prayer is one of those weapons that we can take something by force. And it may not seem like we're doing anything. It may seem like we're passive and inactive. But prayer is not a timid resource. It is something that we can do, that we can take it by force. And one of the first things that we do when we're going to take something by force is we pray about it. And we ask the Lord, Lord, give me leading, give me guidance, give me understanding as to what it is that you want me to do. And the Lord will give us direction that way. All right, so continue to read.
And there we saw the giants.
There we saw the giants.
The son of Anak.
Which come of the giants.
And we were in
their own sight. That's not reality. That's not spiritual reality. It may be temporal, physical reality that we were here and they were way up here, and I wouldn't want to fight any man that this tall. I don't care who he is. I don't want to fight him. But let me tell you, David fought one. The Lord can tell you how to do it. The Lord can show you how to do it. And so, but still, the Lord's given you this land, and what we're doing, if we're not careful, we will make excuse not to go forward into the unknown or even the known. Here, the known was even worse than the unknown. This is what we know. The sons of Anak, they were tall men and we were grasshoppers in their sight, and we're not able to go against them. What? Keep reading.
And so we were in their sight.
So we were in their sight.
Okay, going to
14. No, that's good enough. So we were in their sight. So here, this causes these men to draw back. So what I want to say to us today, God has given us some victories. They're already ours. Do you realize every battle that you'll ever face is already won? That the Lord already did something about it. He's already won that battle. All you have to do is fight it. Every trial you'll ever face, the Lord has already made provisions for you in that trial. I've already given this to you. You're going to be better off when you go through it, and when you get through it, than you are right now. So go on and go through it. Don't be afraid of it. It's land that I want you to possess. And the only way for you to get it is to take it. I'm not just going to go and pick it up and hand it to you. I said, it's there. It's there for the taking. Lord, help us. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. I want to deal with a part of us that says, like the children of Israel were saying, but we are grasshoppers. We're weak. And I want us to deal with the reality of God. All right?
2 Corinthians 4:7.
Yes.
Lest thou should be exalted above measure.
The abundance of the revelation. This is talking about Paul. And the Lord gave him a revelation. Unless he should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation.
There was given to me
a thorn in the flesh.
A messenger of Satan to buffet me.
Lest I should be exalted above measure. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed 3 times. Lord, and I'm talking about a real good prayer, not just a passing prayer. I prayed about this, all right?
That it might depart from me. And he said unto me,
My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Most gladly,
therefore, will I glory in my infirmities,
that the power of Christ.
Now again, he's given us the power of Christ. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. Power of Christ may rest upon me.
Therefore I
take pleasure in my infirmities. Now that doesn't seem like it's very a sound mind. I take pleasure in infirmities? When somebody talks about me and things go in a terrible way and I'm reproached
in
necessities, I'm happy? I take pleasure in this?
In persecutions?
In distresses for Christ's sake?
For when I am weak,
then am I strong. He learned something here. He learned the balance. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. He learned that the reason that I don't have to be afraid, the reason that I can go forward in whatever weakness. And sometimes we have in our mind that, Lord, why did you, you know, life would be a lot easier if I didn't have this deficiency. Have you ever said that? If I was more like so-and-so and so, then life would be a lot easier for me. Well, you aren't more like so-and-so. You do have the problem that you have. And the Lord knew you were going to have the problem that you have. And the Lord said, still, I'm going to give you the level of victory, and I'm going to be your victory. What did Paul say? He said, when I'm weak, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What do you have to do in the midst of this weakness? You have to say, Lord, give me more of your grace. Maybe, whatever it may be. I don't know what your issue is. I don't know what your deficiency, spiritual, physical, temporal, whatever it may be. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And I want to encourage you this way, that all you have to do is, Lord, give me the grace to cover this. Give me ground here. Give me the ground that I need to be able to go forward and take this. But sometimes with those things, we're just going to have to take it by force. We're just going to have to take it. Lord, I want to be more patient. And sometimes when the trial comes up and everybody is going at a snail's pace and you're ready to just blow off the handle, the Lord says, be quiet and sit there and don't say a word. That's some ground. And so who are you going to be forceful with? You need to be forceful with them and tell them, honk, honk, hurry up. No, you need to be forceful with you. The violent take it by force. You don't need to be violent with them and tell them, if you don't hurry up, then this is what I'm going to do. What you need to do is be violent with yourself and say, listen, if you don't sit there and be quiet, I'm going to deal with you. I'm talking about me. You're talking about yourself. And let the Lord work with you. And that's ground. That's ground that you cover. And then the next time you come into a situation that you need more patience, it'll be a little easier for you to sit there. All right? Or whatever the situation may be. Maybe you got too much patience and everybody else is running around. And that's a trial to you, we'll put it that way. That's a trial to you. Well, the Lord says, let them run. And you get up and run with them. Well, Lord, they just need to sit down. Maybe they do, but you need to get up some. Balance. Sound mind. All right. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, his strength, is made perfect in weakness. Do you realize that I had to learn something, and this is something that you learn over a period of time, and the Lord begins to teach it to you when you first give your heart to the Lord. It's not your strength. You can't live this in your strength. You can't be saved because you have a strong will. I'm pretty good at this, so I think I can handle this pretty well. You can't do that. You have to understand, and the Lord takes you through some things that shows you that you are weak. You can't do it.
All right? But what does he do in the meantime? He said, let me be your strength. Let me be your strength. Cast your care on me. Let me bear this for you. Let me give you what you need. The reason that you can have this ground is because I'm going to be with you. The reason you don't have to be afraid of it is because I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to be what you need in this situation. You seek me, and you seek my grace, and it's sufficient to face whatever unknown that you face or whatever giant that you know you're about to face. I am the one that can do it. Let me do it. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. My strength, God's strength, is made perfect in my weakness. So that's how Paul can say, most gladly, therefore, when that clicked in my mind, I stopped praying for this cross to be removed, for this thorn that was in my foot. I stopped praying for it to be removed. We heard a little bit about that in Sunday school. That what the Lord does, he puts thorns in our flesh and things in our way that causes us to understand how badly we need him. Now, we have a choice. We have a choice to say, Lord, I'm going to grab hold of you and you're going to take me through this. I'm going to do whatever it takes by the grace of God to gain this ground because I know you're with me. Or the devil is going to present it to us for us to start turning around and turning back and say, you know what, this is just too hard. It's too much. I can't do it. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I can do all things through Christ. He didn't say I can do all things by myself. He says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So what are we saying here? He is our strength. His strength is made perfect when I realize that I'm weak. So what do I start doing? In this place of weakness, in this area in my life that I'm weak on, that I don't seem to be able to have, and I prayed. What do? I start praying for the grace now. Not that the thing be removed. Some things the Lord's not going to remove. It's not his will for them to be removed. It's his will for you to get the ground that the Lord wants you to have by saying, Lord, by your grace, it'll be sufficient to take me through this. All right? Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ, he's given us a spirit of power, of Christ may do what? Rest upon me. Lord, I'm weak. Now what I need? I need your power to rest upon me. We can ask these things. We can seek the Lord about these things. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. I do it for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm strong enough to bear it. I'm strong enough to go through it. I'm strong enough to take that crown. I'm strong enough to stand my place. Stand in my place and not give up an inch. I'm strong enough to do it through Christ that strengthens me. Through his power that I prayed and I've asked him to give a level of victory that I need. All right? I'm almost done. All right. 1 John 5:1. These are all familiar texts. You've heard them before. 1 John 5:1 through 5. Yes. He's born of God.
And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten.
He that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that's begotten.
By this we know.
We love the children of God.
When we love God.
And keep his commandments. We do what he says. For this is the love. That we keep his commandments, and the commandments are not grievous. Isn't that wonderful? Folks want to say, you know what? Too many rules, too many regulations, too many this, too many that. But his commandments aren't grievous. So sometimes, now I feel like probably all of us have come to places and things that the Lord has shown us that we just, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm just being honest here. Lord, I prefer not to do that. Is there any way, Jesus did it. Is there any way for me not to be able to do that? Have to do this? And the Lord says, keep my commandments. They're not grievous. You don't see the benefit of it now, but you'll see it on down the road. Just do what I say. You'll be okay. All right? Read.
Whatsoever is born of God
overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. All right?
Whosoever overcometh, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. What does overcome mean? What does it mean? Does it not imply a battle? Does it not imply force? Does it not imply that you're taking over something that you have to put a level of effort in? He that overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. There's one scripture in John that says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord's overcome the world. So, one of the things that I'd like to say, as we're praying for grace, we also pray for faith. Because if you don't believe that you can overcome a particular problem or issue, then you're not going to overcome it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't believe that you have through the power of God, that you have what that God has given you, or you have accessible to you, what it takes to overcome that problem that seems to be the worst thing that seems to be your greatest weakness, if you don't believe that you can overcome that, you won't overcome it. Are y'all with me? I didn't hear any amens on that one. It's true. This is the victory. Our victory is our faith. In order to have the level of victory that you need, Lord, increase my faith that I can believe this. That I can believe you can give me whatever I need to go through this trial that seems like it always trips me up. It always makes me stumble. I always have a problem here, Lord. I need faith to be able to believe that you can get me through this, Lord. If you'll increase my faith here, I know that I can have it. I know that I can do it by the grace of God. This is the victory. My victory is faith. Lord, increase my faith. One person, the disciples, they said, you know, they say, somebody sinned against you 7 times, you forgive them 7 times in a day. Are we to forgive them? He said, Lord, increase our faith. That's the Lord says, 7 times 7. He said, increase, we need more faith. I can't. Somebody is going to abuse me like that and you want me to continue to forgive? I just don't have the grace or the faith to believe I can. He said, increase our faith, Lord. All right. Now, another scripture. Luke 16:16. Familiar text of scripture. Yes.
The law and the prophets,
law until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. You get to heaven, you can get there by force. You have to press against yourself. You have to press against the world. You have to press against sin. You have to press against temptation. You're going to have to press against the devil, but you can do it by the grace of God. The violent take it. You're going to have to be violent with the world. You can't sympathize with it. You have to be violent with yourself. You're your greatest enemy. I've learned that. I've learned that in my own life. You can say, oh, well, so-and-so and so-on, these people, wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, siblings, bosses, they are pale in comparison to you. You're your greatest problem. The only person in this world that can keep you out of heaven is you. No matter what people do to you, God's grace is sufficient. No matter what it is that happens in your life, the Lord will take you through it. You're going to have to fight. And I want to encourage you that the Lord has given you everything that you need. All that you need, the Lord has given you to be able to win the battle, to face the unknown, and to have victory in your soul. Pray for me.
Let us stand. Have a number. 261.